12 years after saying that IRA members should be honoured, Labour's Shadow Chancellor John McDonnell has apologised for those remarks and the offence they caused. Well, his apology came on BBC's Question Time programme last night after he was challenged by a member of the audience.
If it contributed towards saving one life or preventing someone else being maimed, it was worth doing because we did hold on to the peace process. There was a real risk of the Republican movement splitting and some of them continue with the armed process. If I gave offence, and I clearly have, from the bottom of my heart, I apologise. I apologise. I think my choice of words were wrong. I accept that.
What should you not have said of the words
you spoke? I should not have said the issue about the honouring. I actually said afterwards that there's no cause that justifies the loss of life in this way. I said that. Yes, I did. And what I tried to do for both sides is to give them a way out with some form of dignity. Otherwise, they wouldn't lay their arms down.
So, should that be the end of the matter? Victims campaigner Kenny Donaldson is with us this morning, as is the commentator Jude Collins. First of all, to you, Jude, what do you think?
Well, and I think this is a classic case of reporting half the truth, but not the whole truth.
In what way?
It's certainly true that McDonald said that those in the IRA, like Bobby Sands, who died, should be honoured. And he then went on to say because they had brought Britain to the negotiating table and ultimately the Good Friday Agreement and the peace process. Okay, so that's clear. And that's what has exercised most people. They say he is talking about honouring the IRA in 2003. But in 2003, in fact, on the 2nd of August 2003, writing in The Guardian, John McDonnell says, and I quote directly, "Irish Republicans have to face the fact that the use of violence has resulted in unforgivable atrocities. No cause is worth the loss of a child's life. No amount of political theory will justify what has been perpetrated on the victims of the bombing campaigns." My question is this. Why did no journalist, why did no politician highlight this statement as well as his statement about the IRA actions resulting in negotiations and the Good Friday Agreement?
Well, maybe, Jude, it is because there was no apology following those early remarks. Yeah. The article you referred to was the clarification that he then provided in The Guardian whenever he was criticised for those remarks, but there was no apology back then.
Yes, but this were you aware of this? Are the general public aware of what he wrote in 2003? I'll bet my life that none of them, very few of them are, because no politician, certainly on the unionist side,
But it wasn't, to be fair, Jude, a retraction, was it? It was just further clarification on what he meant by those earlier comments.
No, he's saying something actually that sounds quite different.
Well, that would suggest then that he's all over the place on this, would it not?
Sorry?
Would that not suggest then that he's all over the place on this?
Well, he does sound, there is a contradiction. And that's my very point, that he has said, on the one hand, the IRA should be honoured. On the other hand, he has said they've engaged in unforgivable actions, no campaign can be justified of this kind, so on. So I agree with you. There is a contradiction there. My point is that half the truth was told, and it is true that he said the IRA should be honoured, but the other half, the whole truth, where he said that Irish Republicans have to face the fact that some of the things they've done have been involved in unforgivable atrocity. That's been left out, airbrushed out completely.
Okay, we had hoped to hear from Kenny Donaldson. Now, having some difficulties with Kenny's line, we will endeavour to hear from Kenny in the next moment or two. In the meantime, Malachy O'Doherty, a commentator, joins us as well. Malachy, did you listen last night to John McDonnell? And if you did, do you believe him?
Yeah, I listened to him, and believing a politician, we have to be a wee bit wary about that, in a sense that, it is done out of the necessity of the political circumstances he's in. He has had this thrown up at him. He wants to bat it back. He chose a good forum in which to do it. Did he sound sincere to me? He sounded reasonably sincere. I mean, the position that he took, what's he saying in effect is, look, I flattered the IRA a wee bit. I pandered to their notion of themselves as honourable and heroic and productive and worthwhile. And I did this because there was a difficulty in the peace process and I was trying to encourage them towards peace rather than towards fragmentation or return to troubles. That's all reasonably plausible, and it's actually, fairly consistent with what Tony Blair was doing at the time.
So he was making remarks then to suit the audience that was in front of him. He was saying something that he really didn't believe in, but he thought it would be helpful if he said it.
I'm not saying that at all. Oh, yeah, at the time that he made his remarks about the IRA, what he is saying about them is, yes, he appears to be saying now that that he didn't fully believe what he was saying. You know, he appears to be saying that when you try to influence people in a certain direction for political motivations or whatever, you use a certain amount of flattery, cajoling, diplomatic puffery, mm-hmm. you know. And if he's saying that's what I hear him saying, that's what he was doing at the time, I would think that, in fact, he had reasonably close relations with the Sinn Féin leadership. The relationship between elements of the Labour left, Ken Livingstone, Jeremy Corbyn and himself, actually go back to, I don't know if it includes him, but I know it includes Corbyn and Livingstone, back to the 80s. I mean, one of Gerry Adams's books was written very much as an address to those people, you know, to incorporate their vision of things. So, yes, I would imagine he had a strong respect for the Republican movement, mm-hmm. Probably an admiration for Gerry Adams and Martin McGuinness, almost certainly an admiration for Adams and McGuinness.
And what's interesting
By 2003, when he made those remarks, there were difficulties in the peace process. Adams and McGuinness were moving toward, you know, we were past the Good Friday Agreement, but we had not reached decommissioning. We had not reached police endorsement of the peace process, of the police. We had Paisley asking for, Paisley taking the lead.
But it begs the question, Malachy, does it not? Was John McDonnell that big of a player back then that he felt what he was saying at this commemoration was going to influence people? Because surely he was on the fringe of the fringes, so to speak.
Well, I would have thought so. You know, I would have thought so. I mean, I don't, probably like Jude and others, it was occasionally at events at the West Belfast Festival where the most extraordinary people were overcome by the enthusiasm of the hour and saying the most ludicrous things in praise of the IRA and the freedom struggle and all. And I don't want to embarrass anybody by naming them, you know, doing that, but people did. And, I mean, part of... you know, there is something that happens sometimes when, as particularly English people and Americans, when they come into the company of Republicans and they begin to see the IRA or Sinn Féin as almost like Native Americans, you know, or the anti-slavery struggle, you know, or a noble people, you know, and you do get all this kind of guff coming out, you know.
Malachy, can I ask Malachy a question?
Malachy, please.
How would you explain, good morning to you, How would you explain the fact that statement in The Guardian in 2003 by MacDonnell about Irish Republicans having to face the fact that the use of violence resulted in unforgivable atrocities and no cause is worth the loss of a child's life, etc.? How would you explain the absence of that as a major headline statement alongside the statement he made about honouring the IRA?
Well, you know, it's clear there's a huge media drive against Corbyn. I mean, I was looking at a piece on Facebook yesterday. I think it was lifted from Private Eye, which set Corbyn's quotes against the headlines that were extracted from them. And I mean, there is that. I mean, I do. There is a clear political drive within some of the media to paint Corbyn and the Labour left now as loony.
And another dimension to that as well, Jude, that there is this sense now that he's been forced into this by other members of the Labour Party behind the scenes, that they've said to him, look, you need to take a stand on this, you need to be open about it, and you need to apologise.
Oh, yeah, I agree that's what's happened, all right. But I just want to stress something that seems to me terribly important, even beyond what McDonald said and beyond this whole issue of support for the actions, violent actions of the IRA. And that is that the reporting of this has not been full.
You say that, Jude. Now, I must say that we have reported in the past what the Guardian article contained by way of a clarification after this. But it must be pointed out. We must also point out the fact that we've tried to talk to him on the program this morning, John McDonnell. We've been in touch with his office, but so far we've had no word back. But you know what, Jude? He must have sat down to write that speech at that commemoration. What was going through his head back then? Surely he must have thought back then that this is going to offend some people. I shouldn't be saying it.
I agree with you that a lot of people were hurt by the statement that he made about the IRA. But that would be a view, I guess, of a lot of historians too. That would be my guess. But they'll look back and they'll say it was through the armed actions and violent conflict between the IRA and the British authorities and the police and so on that eventually the Good Friday Agreement was forged.
Okay.
That's not to underestimate the terrible pain and suffering that was inflicted by the IRA and the atrocities and the killing of children by the IRA and, of course, by loyalists and by RUC and the British Army.
Okay, let's hear.
I would prefer to fall back on the analysis of Danny Morrison that the IRA campaign had run its course, that it was getting nowhere, that it was in the way of political progress, and that the only political growth for Sinn Féin could come from the IRA campaign stuff.
Let's hear what listeners think about it all. James, you're first up. Go ahead. What are your thoughts?
My opinion, James here, my opinion is quite simple. All politicians should err on the side of caution. I'm thinking of Nigel Dodds specifically because my view is, quite simply, those persons without sin should cast the first stone. Therefore, in his past history, he may have made statements which he may regret if somebody digs deep enough. And my simple thing is about the Democratic Unionist Party at the present moment is that here they are playing party politics. They should be storming passing laws and stop messing around.
So should this be the end of the matter, James, as far as you're concerned,
yes,
this apology last night?
In the past, my viewpoint is we should be looking forward. Stormont is collapsing. We really need people with leadership there. We don't need people who are making sound bites on television and creating mayhem. The situation was the DUP and the official Unionist Party have the ear and the ear of the Conservative Party, and this is Conservative Party versus Labour politicking.
Okay.
That is my view.
Okay, William and Armagh, you're up next. What do you think?
I get a bit irritated and annoyed whenever I hear unionist politicians taking the moral high ground and passing judgment on other people. Because I've been on this earth and lived in Northern Ireland a long time. I've yet to have heard some of these politicians when they call for sackcloth and ashes and forgiveness from other apologies from other people. I've yet to hear any of them say that they may have been wrong in the past, especially in the 50 years whenever they had the ill governance of this country. I've yet to hear any of them apologise for the poor housing, the social conditions which they have inflicted on one community. I've yet to hear them to apologise that maybe in some way they may have given rise to the social ill at ease that we have suffered from for the last 40 years. I've yet to hear any of them people say it in any way that they contributed.
Okay, William, thanks for the call. Lyle, what do you think?
Well, I watched the programme last night, and his apology was based on the fact that he was not being sincere whenever he was saying to honour the IRA in his earlier statement.
In what way?
He was merely doing it to try to bring about a peace process. And then what he was now doing, he was apologising, but it seems to me that if he wasn't being sincere whenever he was saying about honouring the IRA those years ago, how can we believe that he's sincere now? That's all I'm asking.
And that was the point we raised, in fact, with Malachy and Jude, the very fact that he seems to be suggesting now that he was talking to a particular audience and he tailored his speech for that particular audience, even though he may not have fully believed in what he was saying.
That's exactly right. Now, unfortunately, you see, it not only applies to him, in a sense, because it gives politics is not very well looked upon by the general public. There's a tendency that the general public tend to think politicians just say things that's convenient for them at times, and it doesn't give any faith in politics at all, as well as just him in particular.
Mm-hmm. Patrick, good morning to you. You're in Derry this morning. What do you think?
Just listening to it. I accept the man's apology. You know, people can have a change of heart, but if you don't accept their apology, when somebody turns around and tells me that when Cameron stood up there and apologised to the Bloody Sunday families and said, I'm sorry for everything that the paratroopers done on you, I'm very sorry, that was a lie, that he was only just glibly saying it. I accept this man may have got it wrong. See, when they come on the other day talking to Nolan about all this, they all forget that there was a man called John Hume who brought the IRA out of the coal. He sacrificed his career. It was him that done it. It wasn't the IRA. It wasn't anybody else. His words was, if there isn't one more person dies here, then I've justified my means.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just sorry the man is no longer in politics because he was so brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
He was the boy who brought the IRA out of the coal.
You seem to be a pretty keen political watcher, Patrick. What's your sense of what's going to happen now for John McDonnell? Do you think this will be the end of the matter, this apology last night?
Let it die. As Simi says, they'll have a go at Corbyn. They'll have a go. That's how they work. These big papers and everything, other media, they're out to get the left-wingers. If them people have great plans for the future of the people of Britain, they'll condemn them. They'll cut them down to ribbons. That's what they do. They'll find every little niche, and it becomes embarrassing. But they'll keep going and keep going and keep going, no matter what these people do. That man's apologised. He made a mistake. But he says, I tried to do something. And it was pointed out there, he wrote another article saying about what the IRA did. The IRA did commit a lot of atrocities. But, you see, the other man come on there now, them unionists, they've never apologised for anything in their lives, for anything that they did in Northern Ireland, which brought about the conflict. I mean, Gregory comes on and says, oh, that's a myth. It never happened. There was never any gerrymandering in Derry, that the minority. Them's all lies. Does he come on to apologise? Never in your life. Does he come on to apologise to the people here? But we're all used to it. We're nationalists. We're used to the lies that are throughout. And this one of the days sickened me. Cameron apologised because of Bloody Sunday. So I'm believing him, and I'm believing that your man was sorry as well.
OK, Patrick, thank you very much indeed for that. Jude, it's going to be interesting watching this one play out from here on in, because you just wonder whenever John McDonnell gets to his feet at Westminster, the dispatch box, whenever things get hot and heavy there in the chamber, do you think will this be still cast up to him?
I don't think it will. I think that by and large the population and the politicians in Britain don't really care too much about what's happening here as long as we keep shut up. I think, I was just thinking that really the main objection to what McDonnell said about the IRA was that it kind of broke the established narrative of good guys and bad guys. That is to say, the IRA, the bad guys, and the forces of law and order, as they were called, as the good guys. His praising the bad guys jarred. Let me tell you very briefly, if I can, and
briefly,
I about a huge irony that's occurring this very day. Today, the remains of a man called Tom Cant will be buried with the rest of his family in County Cork. He was one of two people, the other one was Roger Casement, to be executed outside Dublin in the Easter Rising. Mm-hmm. The police came to his family farm to arrest him. There was a gunfight. An RIC head constable was killed. Cant was tried and executed and then buried in Cork Prison. Now, today, sometime back, the Irish government offered a state funeral to this man. And it will take place today. There'll be a requiem mass, which will be attended by President Michael D. Higgins, with Enda Kenny delivering the graveside oration when he's laid to rest with his family.
Okay,
and Enda said, Thomas Kent was one of many young men who, in pursuit of the goal of Irish freedom, paid the ultimate sacrifice. This was a man who shot a fellow countryman, an RIC head constable.
Okay.
I'm just saying there's it depends on which side of the violence you are.
I hear what you're saying, Jude.
To be good and supported and honoured, other violence bad and condemned.
Really appreciate your time this morning, Jude. Thank you very much indeed for that. And thank you as well, Malachy, for sharing your thoughts with us this morning on that apology last night from John McDonnell.